Welcome to a very special edition of Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Edgardo S. Santos, MD, a medical oncologist at Florida Precision Oncology and a clinical affiliate associate professor at the Charles E. Schmidt College of Medicine at Florida Atlantic University, to discuss the recent FDA approval of ramucirumab and erlotinib in EGFR mutant metastatic non-small cell lung cancer. On May 30th, 2020, the FDA approved the combination as a frontline treatment for patients with metastatic non-small cell lung cancer whose tumors harbor EGFR exon 19 deletions or exon 21 L858R substitution mutations. The regulatory decision was based on findings from the Phase 3 RELAY trial, in which patients were randomized to receive erlotinib at 150 mg daily in combination with either ramucirumab at 10 mg per kilogram every 2 weeks or placebo. Patients received treatment until disease progression or unacceptable toxicity. At a median follow-up of 20.7 months, the investigator assessed median progression-free survival with the combination was 19.4 months versus 12.4 months with erlotinib alone, translating to a 41% reduction in the risk of progression or death with the addition of ramucirumab. Patients whose tumors harbored exon 19 deletions experienced a median PFS of 19.6 months with the combination versus 12.5 months with erlotinib alone. Patients whose tumors harbored exon 21 L858R mutations had a PFS of 19.4 months versus 11.2 months with the combination versus erlotinib alone, respectively. At a data cutoff date of December 31, 2019, the updated hazard ratio for overall survival was 0.92. In terms of safety, the rate of grade 3 or higher adverse events was 72% with the combination versus 54% with erlotinib alone. The rate of serious AEs was 29% and 21%, respectively. In total, 13% of patients in the combination arm versus 11% of those in the erlotinib alone arm discontinued treatment because of treatment-related AEs. Additionally, 85% versus 71% of patients required dose reductions due to these events, respectively. In our exclusive interview, Santos discussed the data that led to the approval of the combination and shared his thoughts on its utility in the frontline setting.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Santos. We recently heard of the approval of erlotinib and ramucirumab as frontline therapy for patients with EGFR mutant non-small cell lung cancer. But before we discuss the implications of the approval, could you provide some background on the combination and sort of what makes it a novelty in this setting?
Yeah, so the combination and this approval, which combine erlotinib plus ramucirumab, is that basically adds some efficacy to the erlotinib as monotherapy. And we know already from preclinical studies, as well as other studies that already has been published, that when we do a dual blockade of EGFR and VEG, vascular endothelial growth factor pathway, there is a synergistic effect, because when the patient tumor express or harbor the EGFR mutation, in the microenvironment, there is an upregulation of this pathway known as VEG.
Can you expand on the data reported from the RELAY trial that served as the basis for the approval?
Basically, this phase three trial, which was double-blind placebo control, met his primary endpoint. And the primary endpoint was progression-free survival, as it has happened with all the EGFR tyrosine kinase inhibitor in the past. All of them has been positive for progression-free survival. So this study is no different from that. It's another rigorous, strong data, phase three. It cannot be better than double blind placebo control. And then on top of that, the study met its primary endpoint.
So how will the approval impact the paradigm for patients with EGFR mutant non-small cell lung cancer and the utility of osimertinib as well?
Okay, so at this moment, the National Comprehensive Network has a different option for patients that have sensitive EGFR mutation. By sensitive, we understand that those are exon 19 deletion and exon 21, also known as L850AR mutation. So those are the two most common and more sensitive EGFR mutation. So in this specific scenario, patient will have several options. It can go from first line, EGFR TKI, first generation, or second generation or third generation. So there are like five drugs approved by the FDA in this setting. Now, this novel combination will not impact the use of osimertinib. Just to answer your question, as osimertinib is the preferred TKI in this setting. However, when we analyze the data, we will find that a relay study found a very specific data for the population that have exon 21, which is the following. In the history of TKI for this specific mutation, we know that there is a difference between exon 19 and exon 21 in terms of response. So when we check the progression-free survival for this population that has the L850AR mutation, the PFS is always inferior than those patients that have exon 19. When we analyze the data from RELAY, which give you a progression-free survival of 19.4 months for the entire group, and then you analyze or look into each specific group. Let's go to see how much was the PFS for those patients that have exon 19. Let's go to see how much was the PFS for those patients that have exon 21, the non-L850AR. We see that this patient with exon 21 did not lose any efficacy from the global study. Still, the PFS on that population is 19.4 months. Today, the highest PFS on exon 21 has been given by this RELAY study. So this is something to consider and keep in mind. The only issue here is that today, osimertinib, as I mentioned before, is the preferred EGFR TKI, also have the overall survival data. So we go by overall survival data. The RELAY study is very immature, so we will need to wait until the overall survival of this RELAY study mature in the next month.
And another thing to mention is that I think the FLORA study included patients with brain metastases, whereas the RELAY trial did not. That's correct?
That is correct, yes. That is correct. Yeah, I think that you mentioned the FLORA study, the one that osimertinib got approval, yes. Patients were able to have brain mets, meanwhile they were asymptomatic or they were treated. In the RELAY studies, also like other studies that have been done recently, for example, the ARCHER 1050, which also got approval of dacomitinib, which is a second generation TKI, they also did not include CNS metastasis. Correct.
So then moving on to the safety profile of the combination, what did the results show in terms of tolerability?
Tolerability was very good. Most of the adverse events were grade 1 and grade 2. There is nothing like caught my attention, like a red flag, because the toxicity that we found on the RELAY study are already well known by us as a thoracic oncology or general oncologist. When you use EGFR TKI, you know that you will have some kind of toxicity to the skin, the famous acneiform rash that appears in the patient. Also, you will see, you may see some kind of diarrhea, loose stool, and also other skin toxicity, such as paronychia in the nails of the patient. When you use ramucirumab, which is an anti-angiogenic agent, and by the way, is the most potent anti-angiogenic agent in the sense that it blocks the VEGF receptor 2. When you use any kind of agent that have some anti-angiogenic agent, you will see things like hypertension. If a patient has hypertension, that patient may see an increase in the blood pressure. Okay, and sometimes we need to optimize that medication for the specific patient. You may see also proteinuria, which means a protein in the urine. We also see that. But in general, the study was very well tolerated. Something also that we keep in mind when we use anti-angiogenic agent, specifically in patients with lung cancer, is the issue of hemorrhage. So hemorrhage was not really increased in the grade 4 and grade 5 that can affect patients' life. Again, it was very well tolerated, most of them grade 1 and 2, which allowed the clinician to act and respond to this kind of situation.
Is there anything else about the trial or the approval that you would like to emphasize?
Well, something I think is important to consider is Erlotin is a first-generation EGFR TKI. So when you use first-generation or second-generation, because they are weak in the sense how they interact in the EGFR pocket when those medications act, they are more prone to develop resistance to this medication. So one of them, which is the most common one for first and second generation, is an EGFR mutation known as T790M mutation. So this mutation is particularly attacked and targeted by osimertinib. Okay? That is how osimertinib was developed in the past. And osimertinib is a third generation EGFR. In fact, the only third generation that we have approved by the FDA in the market. So now that we combine ramucirumab with erlotinib and we compare that group with a group that only received erlotinib in the RELAY study, the incidence of this mutation, EGFR T790N mutation, the incidence was not affected, meaning that we may use osimertinib in this specific scenario if that will happen as a salvage therapy. So that's something that I think is important to mention.
Now, of course, we'll see the results of the ADAURA trial with osimertinib in the adjuvant setting. Do you anticipate that this combination will also be evaluated in the adjuvant setting?
Well, this is very important. I completely agree with you that the ADAURA study has been reported to be positive. I think that we are waiting for the final manuscript and see that data. The only issue here is that when you add a second therapy like ramucirumab or any other, it will increase the cost of the care. So perhaps I will not foresee that in this specific setting. If we remember years ago, the ECO group, ECOG, the Eastern Cooperative Oncology Group, they ran a study in the adjuvant setting using chemotherapy plus or minus bevacizumab, and it did not affect the outcome of the study by adding bevacizumab, another anti-angiogenic agent. So I don't think that it will move into that direction. Now, I would like also to mention something that I forgot is that ramucirumab has also been tested in combination with osimertinib. So we are eager to find the result of the combination of osimertinib, third generation TKI, plus ramucirumab, and this is ongoing. Yeah, very interesting data. So we are really waiting to see that final outcome.
Is there any other ongoing research efforts in this space that you would like to highlight?
No, at this moment, I think that the issue on how to improve osimertinib, which, as I mentioned before, has become the preferred EGFR TKI, they are ongoing. How to sequence data? What will happen after osimertinib resistant? Should we treat everyone with osimertinib and then at time of progression add another medication? Can we add VEG like ramucirumab, or should we start everyone on a doublet like osimertinib plus ramucirumab? Those are things that are ongoing right now. We are living a very interesting time in terms of research, especially for EGFR patients. But still, we are learning more. Osimertinib can get resistant from several angles. We already know a few mutations that can cause resistance to osimertinib. One of them is the EGFR C797S mutation. Recently, I have another patient of mine, by the way, that got EGFR L90F mutation, which also confer resistance to osimertinib. What we are going to do with them? We can develop targeted agent against them, or we can add other mechanism of action, like, as I mentioned before, the use of vascular endothelial growth factor inhibitor, like ramucirumab, could have an impact on those patients. Besides those mutations that I just mentioned to you that can confer resistance to osimertinib, also sometimes we see a c-MET amplification or abnormalities in that pathway that can also give resistance to that, and we may also look into that direction. So there is a lot of research ongoing.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this special episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for recaps from our State of the Science summits and exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.